If my phone ever cuts out, tell me. Sometimes it's weird.
Yeah, it's kind of spotty here too. So okay. The time is 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. and 12 p.m.
We'll say noon.
The date is May 16th, 2020. And just as a reminder, any answers you provide will be included in a publicly accessible archive. So please do not share any information that you would not like to be publicly available.
Okay.
And then we'll get into the background questions. So what is your name? And if you're comfortable, do you mind sharing your age and ethnicity?
My name's Sue, just call me Suby, but Susan Bitkin, Susan Clay Bitkin, and right, it's B-U-E-T-E-N, and it's really Susan, but everybody calls me Sue, and I'm just, I'm in March, and as far as heritage background, my family's generally Irish and German, and some English thrown in there, English, Scottish thrown in mix, so. But I suppose if you were looking at a form, I would probably have to check Caucasian.
In general, where do you live?
Like the idea of ethnic better. Like heritage.
In general, where do you live?
Live in Minneapolis. Diamond. Folks and do you want to answer or
not? 1 second, you're cutting out. Let me go by the window. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay.
Do you need the address or stated or just like I live in South Minneapolis by Diamond Lake?
Nope, that's perfect.
Okay.
When you first learned about COVID-19, what were your initial thoughts about it and how have your thoughts changed since then?
Okay, well, and it's kind of interesting because I heard a lot on the radio, you know, they were telling a lot of stories about actually people that were teaching English or teaching classes in China at the time and how they were stuck inside, and that was back in January, I think. And really, I had a lot of students that were looking up and very stressed out about it and worried, you know, they heard a lot about it. And at first, I wasn't, you know, at first I didn't realize how bad it was going to be. And I thought, but then when, I thought more like flu virus, we're okay. But then when I started hearing that, you know, they were not allowed to go outside, and, you know, then I'm like, huh, this is a little more serious. So I guess it was just some stories that I was hearing about Americans that were teaching in China, that they're on NPR, they were sharing their stories about, you know, being, a number of them stayed, and they were actually teaching their students through Zoom and through different things face-to-face, even though they were, like, teaching kindergarten English. They were little kids, but they were using computers to teach them, and they were staying there. So that was interesting.
What thoughts have concerned you the most about COVID-19?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't ask the second half about what I think about it now. I'll kind of do both of those. Now, I really think it's a serious thing. I think it's a worldwide pandemic for sure. I think we just watched last night the show about the New York, Brooklyn men and women that are doctors and nurses and ambulance drivers, and it was really eye-opening even more. Just how serious it is, and you know, people do need to take it seriously. Maybe not for them, but for other people that around them that could get sick, and that I think it's one that eventually we'll find a vaccine for. I feel that, you know, maybe we'll take a shot like we do the flu shot every year and help. But I think it's, you know, it's something that happens in our world where we get new viruses and we have to figure out how to deal with them. But this one was a lot more serious than a lot of others, So I'm hoping people take it seriously. We need the funding to help with that. We need people to you know, try to stay away from people if they can and treat it safe. And I'd say the most concerning thing for me is, you know, what's happening with my students and my families and my family, and are people being safe? What'll happen if they do get sick? How's that going to affect them? Are they going to be part of that 20% that needs a hospital? Are they going to be part of that percent that needs an ICU? I'm proud of our state for trying to slow it down and long enough where we can get enough respirators and things that they need. And now we did. We had like 230, and now we have over 2,000, and with close to 4,000 that we can have at the ready. So I think we've been doing well with that, and really listening to scientists and experts, which I think we need to do. So, you know, I guess it's most concerning because you know, I think people are impatient, especially in our country. I think they're impatient and just want to do what they want to do. And we've sort of lost that idea of we need to think of the greater good as well, and that we are a human community and we need to help each other. So.
Perfect. And then we can get into the employment questions. So what is your job and what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Okay. Well, I'm a sixth grade science teacher. I've been a science teacher for years, and before that I worked at nature centers and museums, always in education. I inhaled a bug. I'm in the backyard. On a day-to-day basis, I teach, 120 sixth graders physical science, so we're doing physics and chemistry. But I always try to work nature into it, too, and the environmental ed into it as well. So we try to get outside when we can to tie it to the real world. And so it's a lot of hands-on experiments. I have a very diverse group of students, pretty much all ethnicities, pretty much, within our state. And lots of different languages that are spoke, lots of different abilities as far as kids with disabilities. So it's a really wonderful mix and a real range of abilities, which I love. And just working to make that all a fun learning community is one of the things that I'm really proud of. So that's what I do on a daily basis usually. Now, on a daily basis, I'm in front of a computer at home, which I don't like. It's really hard not to see the students, and I'd say that's the saddest thing about it all is they really want to do well. I mean, I've never met a kid who doesn't want to do a good job. They do. They want to do well. They want to please you. They want to please themselves. They want to please parents. They want to do good. And this is very difficult for a lot of them. Even students that are normally functioning at a very high level, now being isolated, it's very difficult for them to stay motivated, to not feel lonely, to not feel like, to get it all done. When they see it, it seems like a lot when we're not guiding them through everything day by day. I mean, they don't do 8 hours of schoolwork. They're guided into communities, and they're guided into class, and they're guided how to get started. And even though they do work independently and with groups a lot, we're there getting them going, and we're there when they need us. And so now it's really difficult, even though they can use the technology and reach me anytime they want. It's amazing how, even though we've had every kid with a computer, how they didn't do that. They're unable to do things independently. But usually their partner would go, "Oh, click that button," or we'd be like, "Oh, here, let me help you that night," And now they're on their own. And for a lot of them, they don't have a parent sitting next to them. They're sixth graders. There are a lot of parents that are working, particularly students that either a single parent or they are an immigrant family. There's still a lot of people that are working, and so the kids don't have backup. Even though their parents would love to be there and give them backup, they can't. So, we've heard from a lot of parents and even the parents that are there, it's really difficult for them. They're not a sixth grade science teacher. They're not a sixth grade math teacher. It can be really difficult for them to look at the list and go, okay, now what do we got to do now? And so everybody I think wants to do their best, but it's very difficult.
Well, even
we even have most everybody has internet. We gave them hotspots if they didn't, so they could pull up the internet.
Oh, that's cool.
We had every kid with a computer. A lot of places don't have that. They don't have every kid with a computer or every kid with internet or a computer at home.
And, even college students are struggling incredibly with this. And a lot of college students don't have access to internet. So the campus library actually had to buy computers and give them out to students that could check them out. And it's been a struggle.
And I've been impressed how, the libraries, everybody wants to help. I mean, that's what's really cool is you're really seeing people wanting to help, wanting to do what they can to help everyone and really get this done. So that's been really cool to see. But I know, families that only have one computer, they got four kids, they're each trying to do 4 hours of homework a day. It's impossible.
Mm-hmm.
At least at our school, every kid does have a computer. But it's still very difficult.
Has the curriculum changed for students because of this?
Absolutely. We're definitely not getting to as much. Again, we've had to cut way back to what we can expect of them. What they have to do in the morning, they're supposed to do by 10, but we really count it if they log in at all. Because, we have kids that are at a daycare. Their parents are first responders or whatever. They're at a daycare or they have to work. And so they're not even starting to get help until 3, 4 o'clock. But they have to log in to this thing called the hub, and that's where the school takes attendance. If they log in, there and look at their schedule for the day, like all their assignments are listed, then they get counted present. You know, they're not absent. And then they look at this list, and it might say, science, go to Google Classroom, do this, this. Math, go to Google Classroom, go to Moodle, and do these assignments. Look at this video. So there's a list of what they have to get done. Sometimes it can be really daunting. So we definitely have cut back the amount that they're doing. Like I try to do fun science videos for them. So like twirling buckets of water to talk about centrifugal force, you know, like popping Jiffy Pop popcorn to talk about conduction and the air popper for convection, you know. So I'm trying to do things in a fun way, which we did. We would do a lot of fun things hands-on at school, but you can't do it now unless you show them with a video. And then you can encourage them, you know, if you've got this, try it at home. Let your grown-ups know and try it at home. But, you know, it's not like replicating the experiment for them, for sure, or having them do it hands-on themselves. It's just not. So, yeah, we've definitely cut down what they're doing. In fact, these last 3 weeks, we've cut down where every course, because they not only have their five, you know, reading, math, social studies, language arts, and science, but now they have homework and choir and band and FACTS, which is like home ec, and, you know, tech ed and, you know, all those exploratory classes and art. So they have like eight classes that they have assignments in. So we've cut it back to every class, two assignments a week, 15 minutes each. You know, otherwise we just felt like we were going to lose them. And we'd rather have them learn something than nothing. But I think I've done pretty good with my stand. I mean, everything that people are doing is standards-based, for sure. They're reaching their standards. It's just they're just not getting to everything they want to, for sure. So I think I've touched on everything I wanted to touch on, but it definitely is not the same.
Well, actually, in college, labs are doing, like for labs, we're doing the same thing. You know, before it was extraordinarily hands-on. And now it's just like, okay, watch a video. Or we were doing the different soil horizons. And they were like, you know, if you want to, you can go outside and dig a hole and look at the soil horizons.
Right.
You know, but a lot of people don't do that. So you have to watch a video to really understand it.
Right. And then for us, like, there's things I'd love to have them go outside and try or do or look for. Like, I really started off the very first week we did this, I really started with, do some nature observations, what's happening at spring, and that really, you just look out your window if you have to, and they really like that. Tingle, shh, sorry, puppies talking to the neighbor dog, but they're 11 and 12, I can't say, go outside and go do this. I'm not exactly sure where they all live, if it's safe to do that, to start with, if they can do that, if they're not, you know, a lot of my kids that are sixth graders are at home alone watching four other little siblings. You know, they can't just go outside and do something. So there's so many kids that are helping their family and are alone and can't go do that. Like, I have one girl, she's just the brightest student. She's a sixth grader, but she came like 2 weeks to our country before this all happened, before school was done, 2 or 3 weeks. So she was just meeting friends, and her family, you know, they work in the healthcare industry, so they're not home, so she's home alone, and she doesn't really have a lot of friends yet, because she was just meeting them all, so she can't just wander outside, she doesn't even know where she is, she just got here, you know, so it's so hard for so many that, and then I have ones that both parents are home, they're taking them outside, they're going on walks, they're trying experiments, you know, it's a range of what they're able to do, But the one thing is they all want to try and they all want to do well. I mean, that is so clear. Nobody's just like, forget it, I'm playing. But they're not doing that. I had one young man, he wrote me this long, beautiful email. He's a lovely student, but he did have a little bit of trouble this year. And he said, I know I'm a little behind, but I'm going to work to catch up, and I'm so sorry I gave you any trouble this year. Like, it made me cry. It was the sweetest thing. But he, you know, he's a lovely person and always has been. He's grown up, you know, and dealing with stuff. But he was just so introspective and so wanting to do well and you know, was giving it his all, you know. But it's just such a different thing when you're on your own trying to do this.
Mm-hmm. What do you worry?
And then if kids do email then or call or, you know, chat or whatever, then I'm constantly just, and most of those haven't been about how to do the work. Most of it has been, what are you doing? I got a new puppy. Tomorrow's my birthday. Don't forget, tomorrow's my birthday. You know? It's like they want you to remember they're there, or they want you to talk to them. They miss us. They where for a lot of kids, you know, for a lot of kids, no matter what their ability, no matter what their economic level, we are their stability. We are the level ground all day, and they miss that, and they miss talking and laughing and students and community. So it's really hard.
What do you worry most about your students in the transition?
Again, that for one thing, do they have enough food? I talked to one student, and we were talking recipes, and I said, "Oh, do you have beans at that?" And they go, "We're out of beans." Like, they don't have it, you know. So I worry they have enough food. I worry they're alone, and for some of them, they're alone with their free access to a computer. Like, what are you watching? What are you doing? Who are you talking to? I worry that there's a lot of young people watching other young people, their little siblings, and, you know, how's that going? I worry they're going to get sick. I worry their parents are going to get sick. I worry that a couple of them are out playing basketball with their buddies. Like, what are you doing? You know, I worry when some log in, and we can see when they log in, they're logging in at 3 a.m. Why are you up at 3 a.m? You know, who's watching you? You know, so, you know, but I just worry about their safety. You know, I'm not worried about them being too far behind. There's some that will get farther behind that we're behind because they're just, we're not doing as much. I think particularly in areas like math, you know, that it builds so much off of it. But, you know, we can deal with that. We can do that. I worry more about, do they have enough to eat? Are they in a safe place? What's happening? You know, is their family safe? Are they safe? And during this time, too, there's a lot of research that's showing, you know, we're their first responders. If anybody's being hurt at all, we're the ones that often see it and report it. So they found an uptick in different places in emergency rooms of kids that were hurt by abuse or something. And because there was nobody to report because we're at home. So I worry about a lot of them and are they okay and what's going on. So it's more of the safety piece 100%. Than the academic piece. We'll fix the academic piece. That's not a big deal. I want them to be safe.
How has the transition from in-class learning to online learning been for you?
It's been an adjustment. I'm really love being in front of kids and being with kids and working with them and watching them work together and getting them to be a community. And I'm not much to sit in front of a computer. I hate it. I hate sitting in front of a computer. And so, but it's been fun learning some cool technologies and got stuff on YouTube now and you know, and I've learned a lot of, you know, more about how to do some different technologies and that kind of thing. So that's always fun, you know, and using them in a fun way to have kids connect. So that's fun. But overall, it isn't fun to sit in front of a computer and not be able to grab them and pat them on the shoulder and hug them and say good morning every day and say goodbye and tell them to be safe and get excited when they learn and have them get so excited when they learn something new and say, look what I did, look at this, you know. It's just not as fun. Mm-hmm. It isn't.
Do you experience any technical difficulties in the transition from in-class learning to online learning?
We were really good. The Friday the 13th of March, our district actually sent kids home to us early, and we were... The tech people were like all over us. Is your computer working? What do you need? Do you need a new one? Do you know students that don't have them? Does everybody have a cord? Do you know how to do this? Are you logged into the hub? Are you connected? Is your calendar connected? Like, so we just worked. And then the next Monday, we too were just solidly working with our media specialist and our tech person to get everybody ready. And then, you know, I'm lucky I live in a place that has internet, but there has been a couple times, which is unusual, that we've lost power. And I don't think it has anything to do with this, but there's been, I don't know, like 5 or 6 times when the power will go out. Steffi's working, the other teacher, she's in the house, she's working in one room, I'm working in the other, and the power goes out and you lose internet. And then you're like, oh, okay, so I guess we're just going to go see how the garden's growing right now, or, you know, we're gonna go, you know, because you can't do anything. It's all on computer. So you have to wait till it comes back up. So it hasn't been a long time every time, but that's been weird. But other than that, not really. I would say not on our end, but we've had a lot of students that didn't know how to do stuff we thought they did. For example, just getting on the computer and logging into the hub. They have a username and password they use all the time, but they didn't know. Or having, like, even a Google Meet where you put your calendar where it says Google Meet, like, join this meet, like, you click the words. Well, a lot of students don't know you click those words. It's not intuitive. It's just blue words, and sometimes they're not even blue. They're a different color. So that's the kind of thing where, especially students that are English language learners or kids that have some disabilities, but really a lot of different kids, they didn't understand how the ins and outs of how to get places. And we didn't know that, because when you're working with a group and you have a community, kids will help each other, and which is good. They're supposed to help each other, and they weren't doing an answer for somebody. They were getting them to where they were supposed to start. So then we're like, oh, okay, it isn't intuitive to know how to do a Google Meet. We didn't really do a lot of those with kids at all. But so, and it isn't intuitive to know that when you see a slideshow, you click the blue words and get to brain pops. You have to say, click on these words and or show them. So it's been really fun to do like screencastify and do videos, and you can literally show them the screen and they can watch this video and they can see how to do stuff, because it was the kids that didn't know how to do stuff or that and that was weird. So, but I think, and then we have lots of training, like almost every day they put trainings up about how to use Zoom or how to use screencastify or how to add captions to screencastify, or, you know, all these little, you know, how to use Flipgrid and, you know, all this stuff that teachers can use if they want. And then you got to, if you're going to use it, you got to make sure a kid can use it. And that's another whole, you know, ballgame.
Do you believe that students are getting the education they deserve from online learning?
Well, that's a tricky question. I'm glad they're learning something and have something to do and feel like they're still trying and working, and I think they're learning something. But no, I think they do much better when they're with us and when they're with each other. I mean, there's research, lots of research that says students learn best with their peers, and they learn best from their peers. So our whole goal, and as a teacher, a positive teacher, is you create the thing, you get them going, and they help each other, and they work together, because that's the way they learn best. So no, I don't think it's what they deserve, you know, but nobody deserves a pandemic either, anywhere in the world. So sometimes you just do what you got to do. But I do feel like we've created some things that are fun. I think we've reached out, and I don't think anyone has fallen through the cracks on my team or at my school. I've been really proud that you know, administration's reaching out to families, and if they need something, they're trying to find it for them. If they, you know, everything from food to daycare to, you know, a new computer to, you know, hotspot. I mean, they're really working on that angle too. And then we're really working to make sure that we talk to every kid, that they do know how to do a Google Meet. We can check in with them. I mean, I've told kids, you know, call my phone number. It's right here. If, you know, if you can't get through on the Google Meet, we'll figure it out, you know. So I do think we're doing the best we can. And I feel like they feel like they're loved and cared for and that we're here and they're not alone, you know, and that everybody's trying for them. So I do feel good about that. But no, I think they'd much rather, I mean, over and over and over, kids that have had a hard time at school are like, I miss school, I wish I was at school, you know, when can we go back to school? You know, so, you know, they miss it too, and we miss them. So I think it's, you know, they miss it, and I can't wait to get it back. But I think it's going to be a while.
How have your students responded to online learning? Has it been positive or negative?
I think they've really tried really, really hard. I think for a lot of them, it's overwhelming because, again, they get up, they pull up this calendar, and they have a list of all these assignments, and it's daunting. And so they kind of look and they pick and choose, just like, you know, just like we would do. Oh, yeah, I know math's hard for me. I'm going to do this cool science thing instead, or I'm going to read this book instead. And so, but to get them to go back, and if they start getting behind, then they have the rest of this list and this list. And so it can be very daunting. And then the other part of it is you don't know what's happened. Like, there's a couple of kids, you know, periodically that you don't hear from them in a while. And you're wondering, okay, are they okay? Are they sick? Is their family sick? Did they leave? Like, I had a student leave and move to Missouri because their family couldn't deal with this here. They needed to be with family to get support and help. So, you know, then you wonder what's going on with them and are they okay? But I think overall, there's a few that have said, I like this. This is really good. You know, I'm getting this done. And I know I have one student that just has a hard time in groups. It's loud at school, you know, because we're all busy. And they started out doing really well at home and just really focused, really getting everything done. But then their grandpa died, and then that was, and it was all really hard. So, you know, you don't know what's going on with them as much and how to help them. So some kids at the beginning were like, oh, this is kind of fun, but by now they're all like, even now it's almost summer, and they're like, what? I wish we were at school. I wish we could go to school. Why aren't we at school? There's a really cool song that a teacher did. It's called I Miss My School. You can look it up. It's on YouTube. He's a Bloomington teacher, elementary teacher. But it's a great song. You got to listen to it because I think it's everyone's sentiment, kids and grown-ups alike. It's called I Miss My School. Look it up and listen to it. It'll make you cry. It made me cry.
So this has been something, this question kind of relates back to things we've experienced in college and that teachers have had to consider. Do you think that for some students, their home life has affected their ability to learn?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it does every day at school, but I think it absolutely is a greater impact now. Absolutely. And like I said, there's been, if there are family situations that were already tense, well, they're amplified a million times over now. So absolutely, I think so. And then, like I said, they're responsible for kids at home. So a lot of them, excuse me. So they can't even get to their work till they've helped, you know, their second, third grade brother and sister do theirs. Or they help make dinner, or they help with laundry or cleaning, because they might be the oldest kid at home, or helping. Everybody's helping. So absolutely, they don't have enough time, and plus they're kids, so they can get themselves off track too. You know, they can sit and play Fortnite for 4 hours and go, oh, shoot, I didn't do my math, or you know, watch TikTok or YouTube videos forever when they should be doing something else. Yeah, I think it's greatly affected their learning. They don't have us there, you know, guiding them, getting them through the day, but that's our mission. Our mission is to get them to be a good community, have them learn to be good friends and human, and learn different subjects. And they don't have that happening now. Even though, again, parents want the best, they want it to go well, they want them to learn. I haven't met one yet that was like, you know, we should just forget this. It's very difficult for a lot of them, and they're it's really hard, but they want them to learn. They feel it's important, but it's hard.
So going forward, how do you think this will affect students in the years to come?
Well, I don't think we're done with this. I have no idea, but here's my prediction. You want my prediction?
Sure.
Here's my epidemiology prediction. I think come fall, we'll probably start on computers. And I think when we come back, they'll have to do some kind of still social distancing. So maybe they'll split days. They'll have kids come on one day and have next in row. So we'll be doing online and in person eventually here. And I think it's going to be a lot of work for teachers, a lot of work, and a lot of work for parents and kids. But I think we're going to have a combination of online and in person. And, but, you know, I have no idea really. I'm making that up. It's a guess. But I think it's going to be a long time yet. Until we can really feel like people are safe. I don't think we can just throw our hands up and go, woohoo, let's just go play, forget about it. Because I think there's too many people in jeopardy to do that. I think we have to think about our neighbor and the person sitting next to us, and we need to help each other. And we need help, too, from our leaders. They need to, you know, I'm going to get one political once. If we can bail out big companies and things, we can bail out the average person. We can help each other get through this, and then we can, you know, get back. And I think a lot of places in the world are doing that too. They're really reaching out and trying to help, you know, financially help people, and so they can get through this, because this was nobody's fault. Nobody wanted this. This is the last thing anybody would want. So let's help each other, and then we'll get through it. But I think it's going to be a long time before we're back to what we would call normal, if ever. I think this is one of those things that, I mean, I think about your grandma, and, you know, she lived through the Great Depression. She was born in 1931, so she was born in the Great Depression. That was her early years. Then she had World War II, then she had, you know, the other wars, and there were a lot of things that she dealt with that were very difficult that she never forgot. She never ate potato soup. She hated it, wouldn't touch it, because that's all they ate when she was growing up, because that's all they had, you know? So, you know, she just didn't. She wouldn't do it. And we're like, it's good. How can you not like it? She's like, no, never going to happen. Too much already. So, you know, she liked food. She liked cooking. But, so I think this is going to be one of the things in their life that they're never going to forget. They're going to hopefully remember that we all worked together and helped each other and made sure people were safe, the best that we could do. I mean, that's what you'd hope they'd take from it, is that we got to watch out for each other and help each other and not give up. And that, you know, it's a trying time. But they're not going to forget it. And it's going to impact them for a long time. I do think academically, for a number of them, they're going to be a little further behind than they were, because they were already behind. But I hope that, that as far as just their family's ability to make it in the world, that doesn't hurt too much. They're going to remember it, and it's going to impact them for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be around a long time. I think until we get a vaccine or a shot that you can take every year, it's going to be around a long time.
Mm-hmm. So will this change the way you teach when you return to in-class learning?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm a teacher already that really likes to think about kids and helping them succeed all the time, and that seeing them as good people and no matter what, and that they can do it no matter what. But I do think you always take stuff for granted, you know, and I too feel like I took it for granted a little bit, and that I could have reached a few more. I could have been a little more patient. I could have got a little, you know what I mean? That I could have got to know a kid a little bit more, and even though I try to do it a lot, you always feel like, yeah, there was, maybe I could have done a little more, or appreciated it a little more. But I guess that's all.
And
just never to take those hands-on things for granted, because I mean that's the way I like to teach anyways, hands-on learning, and but they desperately miss it and they desperately need it, and you know I'll never not do it. It's always fun.
So that ends all my teacher questions, and then I just have some additional ones. How has COVID-19 affected your household's day-to-day activities or your ability to communicate with family members?
Well, I think it's been really hard. I think my partner, Beverly, has, you know, got us ready. She saw it coming. She did grocery shopping beforehand. We had everything we needed. It was shocking how organized and ready she was when I wasn't really even thinking about it much yet. And she's like, oh, this is going to be bad. And then we have our one daughter lives with us anyway, Kylie, and then Stephanie came back, and her boyfriend's here too. So we have 5 people, 4 dogs and a cat all living here. And it's been really fun too. But and I think we, you know, again, I think Beverly had the good attitude, and everybody did about, you know, if you need space, take it. You know, we just have to understand there's 5 of us here, and we have to, you know, be patient with each other and just have a good time. But we've had a lot of fun, hung a sheet up and watched giant, you know, big screen movies on the wall, and we've played games, and we've cooked fun food together, and, you know, we've taken owl pictures in the woods, and we, you know, played lots of cards, and so I think we're having fun too. But the day, Stephanie and I are up, we're on the computer, she's in one room, I'm in the other room, you know, both living rooms have a teacher in them, so the other people are creeping around, making sure they're not getting in some kind of, you know, Google Meet by accident in the background, and they're quiet. Well, Steffi does a lot of really talking to kids day to day. She works with students that are on the autism spectrum, and they need a lot of one-on-one talking and help. And so she's got students on her computer all the time talking to her. So everybody else is creeping around quiet. When the days end, you know, when school day ends, then we oftentimes have to film a little video and get it ready for the next day, put it on later, because you can't really put your next stuff on too early, because the kids, if they'll get to it till later, will be all confused. So you have to wait till later in the evening to put it on the next day's stuff. Otherwise, no matter what, they're going to get confused. So then, you know, just making dinner, shopping, been crazy, worrying about who's sick, my family members. You know, you got aunts that are working in 2 different places. Two of them are working at senior centers as well. So it's, you know, that's scary. I worry about you because you had asthma when you were little. I worry about Maddie. You know, if you get sick, is that something like that going to counteract it and make it worse? You know, I worry about people all the time. I worry about your mom being there by herself, even though she kind of likes that sometimes, but it still gets lonely. And, you know, I worry about everybody, and friends and family. And I worry if Beverly got sick, and Kylie's not working right now, but she's got a hopefully she'll get to get back to her preschool job. And when is that going to happen? And when it does, is she going to be okay? And, I mean, we sewed masks. We pulled up fabric we had, and we do have a number of masks that we made, so everybody's got those when we go out. When shopping, we've had stuff delivered, which is crazy in itself to do Instacart. It's amazing, and it takes a really long time. And then get it delivered. We've scrubbed stuff down with mild bleach solution before it ever came in the house. I mean, it's been a huge process to make sure everybody here is safe, everybody's safe and sound. I mean, we've done everything that we're supposed to do. But now Kylie's going to have to go back to work. Cole's going to have to go back to work. You know, and then you just worry, oh, now what's going to happen? So, you know, we're all doing the best we can. And you're looking for work, and what's going to happen with that? And, I mean, every time I hear that you went back to Eau Claire, I'm always worried that what's going on with you? Are you going to be able to be safe? It's just that constant worry when you can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can do everything we can to try to wear masks and to try to keep separate. And is that enough? You know, so it's the whole thing's worrisome. And then I worry that, you know, there's people all over the world that are having to deal with this, and they don't have the resources we have. And there's people in my own city that don't have the resources I have. They're not sitting in this beautiful backyard talking to you and having enough food in the fridge. So yeah, I'm worried. The cub near us is empty all the time. There's nothing on the shelves. In fact, the person that did deliver our food is like, oh, I hate it when they send me to that one. I'd rather go to the Edina one because it's everything's stocked. Okay, they're a mile apart. Why is that cub stocked and mine isn't? Because mine is in an area where there's a lot lower income. I'll tell you that. So I think there's real inconsistencies about what's fair and what people have and what they can get. So, yeah, I mean, it's worrisome all the time.
Well, one of the biggest issues where we are is the price of meat because, you know, the pork plants around here closed down and they partially reopened.
Because people are sick.
Yeah, and the price of meat skyrocketed. And because for that short period of time, there wasn't a need in those pork plants, you know, farmers were having to go out and, you know, get rid of pigs.
Yeah,
and
it's
been a massive struggle around here. And, you know,
yeah.
Grace's family has been, you know, buying pork to try to promote local people and,
right.
and you know, the community. And it's been a struggle.
Yeah, we Beverly found a local farm near us. Southern Minnesota a little bit more, but close, but we got some beef from, and they do the processing right there, and then we found another place that does chickens, and we got some chickens coming too. So then her and Kai have been nonstop looking for another extra freezer to put it in when it gets here, because it's like, oh my gosh, where are we going to put it? But if you walked into our cub down the street from us, there would be no meat. I mean, so it might be more expensive there, but it's there. I mean, you can't. There are a number of times when there was literally no chicken there. There's no hamburger there. In fact, I was there the last time I did go to the store, which was in March. The end of March, the guy was just putting some hamburger out, and there was like five. And I said, thank you. And I took one. And the guy goes, don't you have like 85%? I think it was like 80%. He goes, don't you have like 85 or 90%? And the guy, the butcher from Cub looked at him and goes, we're lucky we got this. Like, he wanted the, you know, less fat, you know, the higher lean. And he's like, this is all we got. You know, it was like, are you kidding? But there's just enough. The shelves are empty. Not there. So it's crazy. So that's a little, you know, what do you do with that?
Mm-hmm. So how is, and you kind of started talking about your local community. What have you seen in your local community because of COVID-19? How has it changed? You know, how are people acting?
Yeah. Well, definitely you're seeing a lot more people with masks. And again, my neighborhood is a little different than other neighborhoods because I do think, you know, we're middle class here and, you know, that in that area. So, but I think people are very concerned. People have family that live in other areas. They're very concerned. And a lot of people wearing masks. We had a dance party the Saturday before Easter out front. And Steph and Cole put big circles, like 12-foot circles in the street so families could come from other blocks. And that would be their yard, and everybody stayed in their own yard, and we had a person bring out a boombox to play dance music, but everybody was all in their own front yard, or else if they came from a different street, they were in a circle, so everybody was social distanced, and it was hilarious. It was so much fun. Everybody was waving and cheering, and just that you could see that everybody was okay, and that was a big thing, but then we danced. Everybody just danced and sung, and it was a lot of fun. So that was pretty cool. But I think, I mean, it seems like there's been a lot of people that are doing really sweet things. I mean, if you just walk anywhere and go anywhere, there's a lot of signs and windows, be safe. There's a lot of rainbows and windows, you know, all that kids are doing as far as, you know, that they've seen that to just keep people inspired and that. I know in Minneapolis, there downtown, they're doing at 7 o'clock, they're clapping and cheering for all the frontline people that are working, the nurses, doctors, and emergency people. So that's kind of cool.
That's
cool. You've a lot of the teachers are doing parades, like Hale School, they paraded, they have kids in this neighborhood, so they're taking cars and driving through and doing parades and honking and waving at kids. And Steffi did that for her seniors yesterday. She went Cole Drove and she went and held up signs, and they took routes and drove past all the seniors' houses and cheered and clapped and screamed, you know, and honked their horns. And I know down the street we have a woman who's, I think she just turned 88. And all of her friends and people from her church pulled up in cars. It was this giant parade, honking and waving with signs. And so I think people are trying to find ways to, and there, you see a lot of things, you know, people helping people that don't have money or can't get out to stores, people shopping for them, you know, so we're trying to share stuff if people need it. You know, you're just doing that kind of thing. We grew a lot of plants and we're giving them to neighbors or giving seeds because people can't really get out to get seeds. So, you know, trying to get everybody getting gardens in, and you know, so they have things to do and things to eat. So it seems like there's a lot of that going on, that people are being supportive of each other, and that's kind of cool.
So this is my last question. Knowing what you know now, what do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
Okay, well, I think we have to think of us all as a community. We just, oh, sorry, just a second. She's barking at the neighbors again. We just have to have people that lead us that are kind, that are willing to help everyone. We just have to. But this is, our world's too complicated to not have that, to not have people that are going to really watch out for everyone and listen to scientists and experts. I mean, it isn't rocket science. It could be, but it's not. That there are people who understand what happens in the world. I mean, your mom's a scientist. She went to school, too, for forestry and different things. We have to understand that there is a level of science and technology that you got to believe, and we got to support and help each other. We got to have people that are going to help and not be bigoted and not be mean. That's what I think. And if we can do that, we got it. Then the things are going to happen, but the communities that help each other and watch out for each other are going to make it, you know, and we can help the environment. That is one thing. Boy, the environment's kind of one with this, with everybody staying inside, not driving cars. I bet the air is a lot better, but that's for sure.
Well, even the earth has stopped shaking.
But but maybe that's what we learn, is that maybe we don't have to drive around so much, or we can carpool more, or we can stay home more. And that, you know, maybe we'll learn some good things out of this too that will help each other, not to mention the medical piece of that each other. But it's a lot, but we got to have people in charge. We got to have people help. You know, as far as school goes, I kind of don't always like the fact that they have computers and take them home, because there's a whole negative aspect of the things they do and see on the computer. But it sure did help us this time to have them, because it was a lot harder for places where they didn't have them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. But yeah.
Awesome.
I just hope it has people be kinder and more thoughtful about everybody.
I agree. Well,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you for the interview, and I'll stay on and talk to you after I get done. So.
Okay, and if you think of something you forgot to ask or something wasn't clear, just text me or call me back.
Awesome.
Okay.
Will do.
Okay.
And I'm ending it now.